The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. Welcome into First Take. We start with breaking news. The deal is official. Aaron Rodgers has signed his contract with the Green Bay Packers. He'll make about $150 million in guaranteed money over the first 3 years of his new deal with the Packers, according to a copy of the contract that was obtained by ESPN. Due to the allocation of bonus money in the first year of the deal, the Packers will actually save close to $18 million against their salary cap for 2022. Stephen A., good morning. Swag Goo, how we doing?
What's up,
good,
big boy?
Good. What up, family?
What's going on, baby?
Good to see
y'all,
you.
Y'all looking good up in that thing today.
Hey, we're trying. We're trying. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Your boy, that bad man. What's your reaction? $150 million guaranteed.
So what? Congratulations. Want a cookie? He's a reigning two-time league MVP, a four-time league MVP. The greatest talent at the quarterback position that I've ever seen. I've thrown out all of those superlatives before. But for the last 11, 12 years or so, I've watched somebody else host the Lombardi Trophy. I could give a damn about his money. I'm happy he got it because he deserves it. But there's only two things that come across my mind. Number one, so what? Because we knew he was going to get paid. That news broke last week. And number two, and more importantly, Aaron Rodgers, could you do me a favor, please? Could you make sure that Devontae Adams gets his money? Because last time I checked, that's the brother that's on the outside looking in. They trying to franchise tag him and have him play on a one-year deal, knowing how violent the sport is and that he could get hurt in practice. He could get hurt in training camp or whatever. Devontae Adams deserves his money just as much as Aaron Rodgers deserved his money, whatever that money may be. And I think that that's the important point to point out. I will remind everybody that we're talking about a Devontae Adams here that had 1,553 receiving yards last season. We're talking about a Devontae Adams that three of the last 4 years, he's had 111 receptions for 1,386 yards in 2018. He had 115 receptions for 1,374 yards. And then this past season, okay, he had 123 receptions for 1,553 yards. I would say that the MVP award for Aaron Rodgers, all right, Devontae Adams had everything to do with that, particularly over the last two seasons. So while Aaron Rodgers, everybody wanted to make news about Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, was already news last week when he decided to stay in Green Bay. I don't know why it's breaking news now, but since we want to act like it's breaking news, okay, I'm not talking about the show, I'm not talking about the business, I'm just talking about us as Joe Public. Since we want to act like it's breaking news, Aaron Rodgers, can you win a Super Bowl? Aaron Rodgers, can you make sure Devontae Adams gets his money? Because if Devontae Adams doesn't get his money, then that very contract we're celebrating might be perceived as having a lot to do with the fact that Devontae Adams ain't getting paid. Mm-hmm. And Devontae Adams deserves to get paid. That's where I'm at with this swagoo. What about you?
And say, this got to be a formality, to your point, with Devontae Adams. They have to be working through structure. I will refuse to believe that we sitting here with Aaron Rodgers with $150 million guaranteed. We just watched Preston Smith, their defensive end, get signed, and Devondre Campbell, their linebacker. I understand the money can be complicated with Devontae Adams, and it may take a little longer, but it better be a damn formality, all right? Now, on to Aaron Rodgers. These next 3 years, or however long he's in Green Bay, will determine his legacy and where he stands as a quarterback amongst the greats. Not talent. Not what he's accomplished. He's already great. He's already done tremendous things. He's won a Super Bowl. One is hard to get. But we've had all of these things leading up to this point. And to your point, we knew Aaron Rodgers was going to get paid. We knew he was going to be the highest paid quarterback. We knew from Green Bay going on every medium talking about he's our guy. We want him. We waiting on Aaron Rodgers. We going to offer him. We flying to California, wherever the hell he at, to make sure that we can get this contract done. We're just waiting for Aaron to say he's coming back. We knew the money was coming. The legacy now, this is what it's about. For Aaron Rodgers, you go get the big money. You've flamed the franchise, and then you've repaired some relationships. Give him credit for that. I also am glad that he got this done. I'm also glad he said that they were coming back, because if America was paying attention, S.A. and Molly Q, that is when things started to roll in Green Bay after Aaron Rodgers made that announcement. I did not understand why people was under this impression that the Green Bay Packers could go out and operate freely without knowing what Aaron Rodgers was going to do. That was the weirdest thing to me in the world. And now everything is flying off the shelf. They getting guys signed, he didn't want to be a part of a rebuild as well. When we talked about the $50 million annually, APY, we said, well, how are they going to make moves? And we understand the first year of this deal that Green Bay is saving some money. But what about next year? What if he don't win it this year and he's for a cap number of $50 million next year? And now you just have him and Devontae if this Devontae deal get done. There's a lot riding on Aaron Rodgers. It always has been from a playing standpoint. But now how we look at Aaron Rodgers' legacy in totality is going to be about these next 3 years and this $150 million guaranteed.
Absolutely. Game changer, difference maker right there. Marcus, we've got other major quarterback news this morning. Please sit tight. We'll be back with you in just a moment. But we need to get to the association right now, because Steph Curry dropped 47 on his 34th birthday. Happy birthday to him in a win versus the Spurs. You know his birthday energy was extra hype because he got Draymond Green making his much anticipated return. He hadn't played since January 9th. He was dealing with that back. He will be on a minutes restriction for now. Steve Kerr, having Draymond back, game changer, right?
The game changed immediately when he got out there in a lot of different ways. It changed for Steph right away as soon as Draymond got out there. I think he had an assist to him like 5 seconds in. The chessboard changes with Draymond out there. With Steph.
We're going to make sure we do everything we can to stay healthy coming down the stretch. Not going to make any bonehead decisions trying to chase the 2 seed. Whether we're 2 seed or 3 seed, we're going to win a championship. So, don't really matter.
Talking that talk. There she is, my girl, Monica McNutt, beautiful and green. Good morning. I'll start with you here, Monica.
Good morning.
Do you agree with Draymond saying that the Warriors are winning the chip this year?
Good morning, Molly. Good morning, Stephen A. And I do not agree with Draymond. You know where I've been when it comes to the West, and I'm still looking at the Phoenix Suns. Does Draymond Green drastically change the complexion and potential trajectory of this Warriors squad? For sure. I mean, we talk about point forwards. That's exactly what he is for this squad. I mean, the way that he maneuvered last night, obviously Steph played with so much joy and smiles. The fact that we got a chance to see all three of them back on the floor since, gosh, 20, who knows when, was a beautiful thing to see. But I just think that the Phoenix Suns, to me, are built on both sides of the basketball for a running back type season. I just think that they've been that spectacular. And then I hope that Draymond is 100%. But I also, you know, back injuries, the nature of back injuries is a little bit tricky. And so I certainly hope that he can stay healthy and get through the rest of the season. But no, I'm still leaning Phoenix Suns.
Monica McNutt, it's always good to see you. Let me get right to it. I'm not going to hold back, because you ladies certainly don't hold it back with me. You, Molly, Kimberly, Mina, all of y'all. I'm getting on y'all right now. Monica, respectfully, I would say to you, your argument makes no sense. And here's the reason why I would say that. Because you specifically said, quote, does Draymond drastically change the trajectory of the Golden State Warriors? You said yes. Well, if that's the truth, I mean, what else does need to be said? It ain't like they fell off the wagon. It ain't like they're beyond the pale. They're still in position to capture the number 2 seed in the Western Conference, although Memphis might capture it. The reality of the situation is clear. We're assuming, because we all know injuries derail everything, okay? Where would Denver be if Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. were healthy? I mean, that's a legitimate question with the way Jokic is looking, okay? Which we'll get into later. So we understand that injuries change the trajectory of things. We get that. But we're saying all things being equal. That's CP3 healthy. That's Draymond Green healthy. That's Klay Thompson healthy. That's assuming James Wiseman is coming back this month like they said he is, and he'll be ready for the last month of the season into the postseason. We're saying all things being equal, who you rolling with?
I'm saying the Warriors. Now, I'll confess this. Does Phoenix have me nervous? Sure they do. By the way, Draymond Green, love my brother Draymond. Happy to see him back. I hope he stays healthy. I'm praying he stays healthy because my championship prognostications for the Golden State Warriors is contingent on everybody, including Draymond Green.
Very much
so. Being healthy, no question. But he is not the defensive player of the year. Draymond, get that out your head. You don't miss 32 games, and you are defensive player of the year. That title is going to belong to Mikal Bridges of the Phoenix Suns. That's the defensive player of the year. Let's get that out the way right now. There's nothing to talk about. This brother's special, okay? And he deserves our praise. He's getting it from me today. But when I look at the Phoenix Suns and I look at the Golden State Warriors, fully loaded and healthy with Klay, Steph on the court together with Draymond, with Poole and Kuminga and all of those brothers that Draymond is going to be there to hold accountable, I'm rolling with the Warriors. The only team that makes me, Phoenix makes me a little nervous. I got to confess that. But Brooklyn healthy and on the court together makes me considerably nervous because Kyrie with KD on the court against those brothers with Ben Simmons and the crew, I would be worried, but I'm still rolling with the Warriors until further notice. I'm sorry. I'm not going against them with a healthy Draymond Green. I'm not doing it.
Stephen A., I understand your enthusiasm, and it could come down to a basket, potentially. This series is that tight, but I don't understand why it's only Brooklyn that gives you pause when we're talking about the Warriors. Let's just go Phoenix and Golden State. Phoenix. You mentioned all of the role guys and the three guys that have been to multiple championships and won the NBA, held the O'Brien Trophy.
Okay.
When I look at what the Phoenix Suns have been able to do, right? Like if we go 3-3, Draymond, Steph, and Klay, potentially, you're talking about Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and obviously probably DeAndre Ayton rounds out their big three.
Mm-hmm.
The size inside to me of Phoenix with their length, Ayton, you talk about Mikal Bridges, okay. Johnson's playing good basketball. To me, they match up well with the Warriors in terms of the ability to defend. And then in terms of their systems, I'm not 100% sure why James Wiseman's name keeps coming up as somebody that's going to be a major difference maker in the potential Warriors run. And if he were, he'd still have to guard DeAndre Ayton at points in a series, which I don't think he has an advantage over.
You got minutes at Chris
Paul, who I would argue... okay, fair. I would look at Chris Paul, who's having this opportunity to watch and allow the Phoenix Suns to grow. He's able to rest so that he can come back and make a push through
a
playoff run.
Stop
it. I don't understand why you act like it's...
I'm going to explain it to you. I'm ready to explain it to you, Monica. Eminem, come on now, Eminem. I'm ready to explain it to you.
Let's go.
Here's the deal.
Please educate
me. CP3 is phenomenal in his own right, okay? He's a floor general extraordinaire, and at the age of 36, arguably the best point guard in basketball, is just a phenomenal accolade to throw on his shoulders. I get all of that. But if there's one person that could arguably be his kryptonite, it is Steph Curry. You know why? Because Steph Curry ain't trying to run the team. Steph Curry is pulling up from 40. That's a problem for CP3. It's a problem for anybody, but especially CP3, who's relatively undersized. That's what makes him. He's a pit bull. He's an ultra competitor. He's incredibly elite at what he does. He's a winner and a floor general orchestrator extraordinaire. We get all of that. But when going up against Steph Curry, who can pull up from the parking lot, it's a bit problematic for him. You look at Klay coming on. That's a bit problematic. We see the Jordan Pools of the world and others that they have. We can't ignore the fact that Golden State is still a top five defensive team in the NBA, even playing 2.5 months without Draymond. So Draymond doesn't just elevate them offensively because he's a floor general in his own right that positions guys to get easier shots, which definitely helps. But he's also a guy that elevates your defense exceptionally so, not to mention the fact that, just watch him. And you know basketball, Eminem, and how brothers holding people accountable goes a long way. So some of the slacking off or some of the slide that you've seen from the Golden State Warriors, that's not going to be apparent when Draymond Green is on the floor. I'm looking at all of those things. I'm not saying Phoenix doesn't match up with them. I'm not saying it's not going to be a thrilling series. I'm not saying it's not even going to go game seven. But if I got to bet my money, I'm going to roll with Golden State. Where I get nervous is that it ain't even about Kyrie, who's exceptional offensively. It's about that damn Kevin Durant. There is no answer.
That it
Kevin is. Durant. Zero. There is no matchup in the NBA. You're either bigger and slower. You're too small. You're too short. You're not quick enough. Something. Because this brother's offensive arsenal, okay, is just unmatched and unstoppable. And if I'm the Golden State Warriors and I got to go against that brother, I hope Steve Kerr and his coaching staff got a damn astute game plan for that, because I haven't seen anybody that got an answer for Kevin Durant. And that's where I'm coming from with it. That's just me.
KD, easy money sniper, is absolutely a problem. And we just going to have to agree to disagree on the Warriors and okay. Suns. Okay. What we do agree on is it should be a
I'll give you credit
series.
For this. I'll give you credit for this. You're not alone.
What's that?
I mean, Jalen and Wilbon and Big Perk on Christmas Day was swearing to me the Warriors are going to lose. It didn't happen in Phoenix, and there's a reason right. for that.
Let's leave it there. Golden State and Memphis have the same record right now, only the Phoenix Suns better. They're 7 games ahead, guys. Another NBA news, Karl Anthony Towns. Did you see him putting in work, dropping 60 last night in 17 rebounds in a win versus the Spurs, 32 alone in the third. The T-Wolves have quietly won 8 of their last 9. Meanwhile, after trailing by as many as 19, the Nuggets defeated the Sixers 114-110. Jokic recorded 22 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists in the victory. Joel Embiid led all scorers with 34-9-4, while James Harden added 24-9-11 in the losing effort. The Nuggets improved to 41-28 on the season. Jokic caught up with a familiar face after the game. Please check this out.
The MVP race is getting hot, it's getting tight. You continue to show up and put up spectacular numbers. Are you thinking about that one tonight when you play against a guy like Joel Embiid?
No, to be honest, I just talked to Joel and we have the same common sense. As long as the big man wins, we're going to be fine.
That's my girl, Range, all day, asking the excellent questions. There she is, Swagoo back here with us. Good to see you. I will start with you, Monica. Who is the MVP?
Gosh, Molly, we've talked about this on the show a bunch, and it is definitely fluid. This morning, my MVP is Nikola Jokic. After that performance last night, guys, he got off to a little bit of a sluggish start, particularly in that first quarter. But it wasn't even so much about his scoring, although he did that in some in quite eye-bugging, eye-popping fashion. Those passes last night, I mean, to see them in person, the dimes that he delivered, I mean, and it's not just an assist, but it was the time with which he was finding guys when the Nuggets needed so desperately to close a lead. They got down as many as 19 last night. And so just his feel for the game, his presence, the way he energizes his squad. I was talking to some Nuggets players prior to the game, one in which Jeff Green, who was well-traveled in this league, and he talked about Jokic being the most easygoing, unselfish superstar that he's ever had the opportunity to play alongside. So right now, the 56 double-doubles this season, like, the numbers speak for themselves. I'm going with Nikola Jokic at this moment.
Okay. Marcus, show him your versatility. You can hoop. Tell us. Who you got?
I'm going Joel because I think Joel can get a bucket anytime in a basketball game. And look, Jokic and the way he passes the basketball changes the dynamic when we have this conversation, because they're not asked to do the same thing. But I see ability, and the ability of Joel Embiid to me is up there as far as talent with any big man that's ever played the game, and stepping out to three-point range and being consistent over 30% from behind the line. I understand why this is such a hard argument, because these guys do different things for their basketball team. But I'm telling y'all right now, if I got to take a big man first and I have to start a team and build it around him, it'll be Joel Embiid for me, because I think he's an unstoppable force. Jokic, at times, to me, is a little slow, a little lethargic, and when you get to the offensive end of the floor, Joel Embiid is the guy that you and Stephen A. would take. Stop playing, Monica and Essa.
Well, Marcus, here's why you're so flagrantly wrong. Because you didn't answer the question. The point is, we didn't ask a question about. I would prefer Embiid too, because I understand that as a talent, this brother might.
I assume we four smart people on first base, and the guy I talk about is the guy I choose for the MVP.
Watch Odd Couple. You understand Felix Unger, Oscar Madison from back in the day, and when you assume, okay, you make an ass out of you and me, okay?
Or that's what it means.
And so the point is that Joel you Embiid. Didn't answer the question. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. Embiid, as the big man we would prefer, I'm totally with you 100%. I got that. That doesn't have much to do with the discussion right now about who is the league MVP. You're talking about Jokic averaging 26, 13, and 8, shooting 57% from the field, over 35% from three-point range. The brother is 41 and 28. There is no Jamal Murray. There is no Michael Porter Jr. He can't jump onto a curb, okay?
Yep.
He can't jump from the street to the curb, and no one can stop him. It's unbelievable. Nobody can stop him. And then it gets better. It gets better, Marcus. This is where we got, because I had Joel Embiid weeks ago. Well, guess what? Matchups matter. And they trade for Harden. Before Harden arrives, they're down by 50 to Boston. 50 in Philly. Harden arrives. Big time game against Brooklyn. You get smoked by 29. Last night, you go up against Jokic. Y'all in the playoff picture together. It's a five-horse race. It's Jokic. It's Embiid.
Up 19,
it's DeMar DeRozan. It's Giannis. It's Ja Morant. What happens? You up 19, and the brother comes back on you. What I'm saying to you is this. As a person who has a vote, I vote, and I'm telling you, this matters. I'm looking at moments. I'm not saying that one is better than the other or whatever. I mean, everybody, you pick your poison because they're both elite. But when you're talking about a stretch run with the playoffs down the pike and you got an opportunity in these big moments, you are Joel Embiid, and you don't get it done, I got to hold that against you for the MVP vote. I'm not saying you ain't a superstar. I'm not saying you're not big time. I'm not saying I don't love you. I'm saying I can't give it to you over Jokic when Jokic closes the deal in these big games and you haven't.
So my question is this. We just watched the game last night.
Yeah.
All right. What do you disseminate between both of these guys? We talking about MVP. Haaland was the best player for Denver last night. So let me just answer your question since I didn't answer the question. Joel Embiid would be my MVP. That's the answer. I thought going off for 3 minutes talking about him would clearly show you that Joel Embiid was my MVP and the guy out of these two. But ultimately, I understand what you're saying, S.A. I 100% agree. But before James Harden got there, who was leading in the MVP voting?
But he was.
The race is so
But it was
close
tight,
now.
Marcus.
It is now.
It was tight.
Yeah.
Are y'all looking at these same stats I'm looking at on TV right now?
Yes.
Did Joel Embiid do enough for his team to win the basketball game?
Yes. But
so
the
point. Time out.
Actually,
but
no.
So did Jokic.
I'm gonna answer no.
But so did Jokic. 34. And the difference is he won and they lost. And he showed up. And then he showed up. Mm-hmm. In big games against Golden State and others, he showed up. What I'm saying to you is as the race tightened, those losses matter.
These games matter.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up, y'all. We'll have much more on this later. Monica, you were asking the questions last night. I have more for you in just a minute. So you sit tight. We'll come back to you after the break. But I have a football subject I want to get into with you.
The jacket is pretty fly.
Thank you.
You know, I got to give
credit.
It looks like a little corduroy joint working for you. It is fly, but we do know. He got on the fly blazer.
You didn't have to do that.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You didn't have to do that.
You know what?
He's growing in the fact that he complimented me, but yeah, he still has to be Stephen A.
I just thought it was important to throw that out.
Okay.
Let's go.
Thank you. Yes, I'm trying to wear my winter outfits one more time. You guys know how it is. All right, Monica, we'll be back. Let's get to football.
When it's 50 instead of 14, but go ahead.
Oh, just leave me alone, okay? Let me do my job. Free agent quarterback Mitchell Trubisky plans to sign a two-year contract with the Pittsburgh Stephen A., you got a quarterback! Mitchell Trubisky! This is incredible. The deal's worth $14.25 million. He's got a maximum value of $27 million with incentives. Trubisky said his decision came down to the Steelers and the New York Giants. That's great. He chose your Steelers. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Browns have interest in Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, and according to multiple reports, will sit down with him today in Houston. It's going to be a very busy day for Watson, as he will also be questioned by lawyer Tony Busby in the 22 civil actions pending against him. Despite the looming deposition, Watson met with the Saints and Panthers on Monday, those meetings also taking place in Texas. The NFL still could suspend Watson for violating the league's personal code of conduct policy. Marcus, I'll start with you here. What team do you think is the best fit for Deshaun Watson?
It would be the Carolina Panthers. And I would never start this conversation without talking about 22 civil lawsuits. Like, I understand where we will get to football-wise, but that is a part of football. That's a part of the decision-making process. And the NFL is really under a microscope. Regardless of what transpires when it comes to a trade or a team acquiring Deshaun Watson, the NFL just gave Calvin Ridley a year for $1,500 gambling. And I understand these incidences are two totally different things in two totally different realms. But there will be a lot to say about how the NFL is going to handle things moving forward based on the information that comes out after the Deshaun Watson off the field takes what it needs to take in order to be resolved. Now, on the field, for me, Carolina Panthers. One, familiarity, right? Went to Clemson, right down the street, understands that area. A lot of people know him, a lot of home base. He's going to need a lot of support coming into stadiums in the NFL, I'm sure. But not only that, when you look at this football team with DJ Moore, when you think about, I know they shopping Christian McCaffrey. If you get Deshaun Watson, that may change. A young defense that played well. They lost the key piece, but I think they played well this year. And then, too, y'all, look at this division. The Saints don't have a quarterback. Not right now. I know Tom just came back, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got a lot of things to do in order to solidify that roster. And then when we look at the Atlanta Falcons, we know that that's a franchise in flux trying to figure out who they are identity-wise. Matt Ryan. So Deshaun Watson in Carolina, to me, would make all the sense in the world. Background, his ability, and what they have as a football team offensively to help make them a better football team. And we know Deshaun Watson will make people contenders that we don't consider contenders right now, but Carolina, because of that familiarity, being down the road in Clemson for 4 years.
I haven't gotten over for the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers got Mitchell Trubisky. I'm trying to recover from that. We all know I'm a Steelers fan, and we know I'm no fan of Trubisky. It's not scrub. He just doesn't move me.
I ain't getting that big I ain't getting that.
It's hard.
In the Steelers.
Do you want a jersey? Because I could get you that, and maybe you could ingratiate yourself a little more with your new quarterback, get you excited.
We know your Giants are trash, so I'm not going to even get into that. But
Trubisky, we're in the same class now.
Well,
brother.
I will say this. Trubisky is 29 and 21 as a starter, and he did take a team coached by Matt Nagy to two playoff appearances.
Stephen A.
So we can't ignore that.
He's better than the guys on that roster.
And exactly. He's definitely better. He's definitely better than Mason Rudolph. And Dwayne Haskins, I know you got a $2.5 million offer. You might want to start looking for a new career. I mean, you can't get ahead of Mason Rudolph in the NFL. Quarterbacking is not a part of your future, Dwayne Haskins. I mean, yeah, you can't beat out Dwayne Mason Rudolph and now Mitchell Trubisky. I just don't even know what to say to you.
Don't say that.
Well, I just did.
I know what the situation is with Haskins in Pittsburgh, but we got to understand that Mason Rudolph was there before he got there. He played. It's familiarity. All right, so it's more than just saying he ain't better than Mason Rudolph.
First of all, don't interrupt me to make that point, because you know better than I do. You know better than I do that in the NFL, it's about what have you done for me lately and whether or not you can produce. They don't give a damn that Mason Rudolph has been there. What they're looking at is who do we have to bet, who gives us the best chance to win it. They clearly believe Mason Rudolph gives them a better chance to win than Dwayne Haskins. So let's stop that, okay? Let's just call it what it is. Secondly, and more importantly, when we look at Trubisky, I will say this.
Yeah.
He is a damn good athlete. He can run with the football, which is something Big Ben Roethlisberger could not do.
Yeah.
So the fact that he could move the chains with his feet, I think, goes a long way. And I do believe that Trubisky is a decent replacement to the Ben Roethlisberger we last saw.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not talking about the Hall of Fame Ben Roethlisberger. I'm talking about the 39-year-old immobile quarterback we just saw behind center for the Pittsburgh Steelers this past season. So in light of that, it's fine. It's just that when I look at the Steelers' defense and I look at Najee Harris and I look at Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson and James Washington and these boys, I'm saying to myself, damn, you get a good quarterback. You get a Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you.
Oh, yeah. Contender. Oh, yeah. It's Super Bowl contender status immediately. And to not, I mean, when I think about Deshaun Watson, I don't give a damn that they just signed Mitchell Trubisky. I say still go after Deshaun Watson. I say still go after him. I don't give a damn. I mean, that's how desperate I am. That's how desperate I am. I don't care at all. I don't care at all that Mitchell Trubisky got 2 years. I could care less. If you could get Deshaun Watson in Pittsburgh, would be lovely. We know it ain't going to happen, but can I dream? Can I fantasize? Because, damn it, that's what I would want. Yeah. I want the Steelers to have a quarterback. Okay?
Just
not somebody playing a position. An actual bona fide, legitimate quarterback.
I think Mitchell Trubisky fits in Pittsburgh, man. I think he fits. I really do.
I think he's lying. And you know what I love?
Marcus don't mean that. Marcus don't mean that.
And you're defending Trubisky. It's a new day here.
Hold on. Defending him to what degree? I mean, I don't think that I'm that flagrant with defending him.
No, you gave some good stats on him.
I gave some good numbers. I gave some good numbers. I just peeled it all. Oh, my Lord.
That was really big of you.
Make the best out of it.
I actually thought that Trubisky would be on NFL Live. I didn't think he'd be on an NFL field, but that's just
cool.
Me.
It's cool. You got your Knicks. You're doing well. I don't want to hear anything from you anymore. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Legendary coach Jim Boeheim coming up in just a bit, but look at all the brackets already created with ESPN Tournament Challenge. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's brackets before they close at noon Eastern on Thursday. We're nearly at 8 million brackets. Get in on the fun. And as I mentioned, Jim Boeheim will be here in just a few. In 46 years as head coach of Syracuse, Boeheim has 35 NCAA tournament appearances, second among active coaches behind only Coach K, along with total games and wins. He led the program to their only title in 2003. Meanwhile, to the NFL we go now. Colin Kaepernick made headlines on March 10th when he shared a video on Twitter where he let the world know that he's still working and would like to make a comeback. It's been more than 5 years since Colin Kaepernick has thrown a pass to an NFL receiver, but that changed yesterday after tweeting out, "I miss throwing to professional route runners. Who's working? I will pull up. We'll ask and you shall receive." Cap's tweet caught the attention of Seahawks receiver Tyler Lockett. The two had a throwing session yesterday, and it looks like it went well. The former Niners quarterback and social activist tweeting this, "Great work today, TD Lockett. It felt great being out there with you. Thanks for everyone who tapped in via stream with us. The full video of the workout will be posted tomorrow. Looking forward to doing it again. Who else is working? Pull up." All right, Marcus Spears back here with us. And Stephen A., I'll start with you. Do you think now is the time for a team to sign Kaepernick?
It's been time for a team to sign Kaepernick. Years. It ain't going to happen. You can throw all the passes you want. You can get all the NFL wide receivers you want out there. It ain't going to happen. This is what I was talking about. Have I lied yet, Marcus? All of these folks were talking. And I said, when he didn't show up for that workout in Atlanta, organized by the National Football League, you were done. Period. Everybody want to sit up there and everybody want to get upset, continue to get upset. This is what happened. Colin Kaepernick was blackballed. Unfairly, I might add, even though blackball in itself is being unfair. He should have been in the league years ago. He should have never been exiled from the National Football League. He never violated the NFL rules. He was free to take a knee if he so chose. He did so respectfully. He didn't impede the game in any way. He certainly exercised his right as an American citizen. We all know this. And thousands upon thousands of American soldiers would vouch for Colin Kaepernick. The NFL didn't care. They sat up there and said, "We don't want to touch this man. He was going to be out the league anyway." Jay-Z is one of the people that was in the mix communicating with owners along with various others. I know that I spoke up about it publicly and privately to NFL personnel. What happens? I meet his lady. They want to try for 18. Well, guess what? Every team was scared to touch him. Put me up on the screen. I want America to see me when I say this stuff. We said, hey, Colin Kaepernick
should be playing. The teams did not want to touch him for a workout because they were scared, if they didn't want him swaggo, that he could sit up there and accuse them of racism. So the NFL stepped in and they said, okay, for the first time in the league's history, we're going to conduct a private workout for this player. One team didn't show up. Five teams didn't show up. 10 teams didn't show up. 26 teams showed up. Black personnel for 18 of those teams, according to the reports. And you decided, because of a waiver that you didn't want to sign, you were not going to show up. And as a result, conducted your own workout at a high school field with receivers we didn't know. Instead of using the Atlanta Falcons facilities, all their video equipment, and everything else. And at that moment, I said, he's done. They're not going to give him another chance. Because at the end of the day, you're so dogged about how you want to do it, they said, we're going to move on without you. How have the NFL ratings been without Colin Kaepernick? It's a facetious question, because we all know the answer to that. Marcus, put Marcus back up on the screen so I can see him, please. How are those ratings for the NFL?
Very good.
Season? What about the season before that?
Very good.
What about season before that?
It's the
What about season before that? It's been 6 years. If Tom Brady was gone for 6 years, he'd have a hard time getting a chance because he'd been gone 6 years. And this is the National Football League. This is what I said. And because we say, Marcus, be very careful about what you say, Marcus, because you see, we agree with 99% of what Colin Kaepernick has said and done. We agree with 99% of how Eric Reed feels. We agree. But that 1%, Marcus, that we might disagree in terms of how you elected to handle it. Brace yourself. You're about to be called a sellout. You're about to be called a coon. You're about to be called all of that. Because God forbid, as grown men, that we think for ourselves and say, you know what? We agree with you. But damn, bro, you might have wanted to handle this portion just a touch differently. God forbid we do that. This is what it is. Colin Kaepernick can have all the workouts he wants. I'm never going to say never, because anything could happen. And we pray that it will, because I want the brother back in the league, because I want him to show. I still don't believe the 64 quarterback is better than Colin Kaepernick. But we all know he ain't gone because of football. He gone because of something else. He knew that too, and still elected not to show up when we would have had the video. It would have got leaked out to the public. We would have seen for ourselves. The world was transfixed on watching you show yourself in front of those NFL personnel. Yep. And you declined. You wanted to buck the system. This is the price. He ain't coming back in the league, in my estimation. All of this is smoke and mirrors, because they ain't going to sign him. If they do, I will be ecstatic for him, because he deserves to be back in the league. I don't believe it's going to happen.
What you initially said is it's been time. And from a football context, absolutely. It's been time. And we don't have to believe that it's not 64 quarterbacks better than Colin Kaepernick. It ain't 64 quarterbacks better. It ain't 32 that's better than Colin Kaepernick. And to your point, Stephen A., like, I'm glad you said what you said, because the elephant in the room is this. It ain't about football, all right? Now, you and I don't 100% agree on the tryout, the workout,
right?
Because you and I had this conversation beyond television, and I said, Stephen A., Colin Kaepernick, his team decided that we want to feel like this is an equal opportunity for him and the league. And we know the league, and I'm going to tell you, Stephen A., I love the NFL is the best thing going when it comes to sports, when it comes to sagas and all of the things. NBA close. But the NFL is one of those things where you know what apple cart you upset that's going to keep you out. And we all knew that Kyle, I said this when it happened, When Colin Kaepernick and the NFL start going back and forth, I said when it happened that they are going to use this man as an example for standing up for something right. And that's what is happening. And two, let me get to this point, because we had this conversation. This is about owners. All right. This is another situation where we can stop saying the league and the NFL. This is owners. If you had three owners that acknowledged Colin Kaepernick was a better quarterback than the guys on their squad, and they had the gumption to sign him and deal with what may come, especially the time that we're living in right now. We've had that conversation as well. Mm-hmm. He would have a job.
Hold on. Marcus, I got to push back on that. At this point right now, I get it 100%. And it was about owners 5 years ago. Do you still think it's about owners now, or it's that he hasn't played in 5 years?
Molly, let me ask you a question. All right. I'm not talking about this particular time. I'm talking about the whole timeline leading up to it. And we keep saying the NFL. We keep saying the league.
No, the owners. But that's what I'm saying. I 100% agree with you. I believe he was blackballed. I believe he should have played. But now I'm wondering, is it more of a football decision than it is even the owners deciding to keep him out of the league? Because how difficult is it to not play at the quarterback position for 5 years than to compete in the National Football League, which isn't his fault because they kept him out. But it just is what it is at this point.
Absolutely. But it's also a manifestation of a plan. All right. We're not going to sit on here and because you when you and me and SA get together, we tell the truth, just like he just did, from a different perspective. This is a manifestation of saying we will time him out.
Yeah,
that is what this is. And we have this conversation every year. Out.
But wait a minute. I agree with you. No problem with that. But what we have to do is look at Kaepernick and throw some culpability in his. And I'm not saying you're not doing that. We're just talking to a national audience, Marcus.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing with you. We're just talking to a national audience. The culpability is on his shoulders. And let me explain why. So Marcus Spears is in a contract negotiation. And you call your boy.
Yep.
And what we talk about. We talk about the forest from the trees. We talk about big picture. We talk about how what you got to swallow in order to get what you will. Molly, the same thing. Me, the same thing. Anybody else, the same thing. We talk about it. So what happened with Kaepernick is, it's my way. This is what I want. This is what I believe. And I'm not maneuvering my way around this by any way. By the way, I want to be a part of your product. Don't work that way. We didn't disagree with him. We all agreed with him. We know he's been blackballed. We know it's been wrong. But when he had the opportunity to sit up there, regardless of the waiver, when you had the opportunity, because the world was aware of the workout. See, that's what everybody's missing here. The world was aware of the workout. We all had our eyes transfixed on it. And all he had to do was show up. I was told. The brother would have to throw it in the stands. This is a quote. He would have to throw it into the stands to not have a job in the NFL within 2 weeks.
And say, hold on. See, this is where me and you run into our issue with this conversation. Sure. Because I know for a fact, you being one of my mentors, that there are things you are willing to accept and not willing to accept.
Sure.
Whether you're in a contract negotiation, whether
That's
you're
right.
doing an interview or anything. And I just cannot agree with you that this wasn't a PR plan from the NFL. I said it when you and I sat on the show, S.A. This was a sham workout, man.
We have to revisit this in the second hour. The only point that I'm going to make is this. You're thinking that I disagree with you. That's not what I'm saying. I reported that portion. I didn't give you an opinion.
Right.
I reported what was told to me. So what I'm saying to you is that's what they're saying. Now, whether we believe them or not is another issue. But the fact that they said it and all of us were watching put immense pressure on them had he shown up. Is my belief.
Yeah, but
we can
hold on. No. We're coming back to it, actually, because we got to look at the stipulations with the waiver as well.